And welcome into the Royal Man Report for 8:14 down here at 31st and Wyandotte in the Casey Ice House Building, Studio 4. I am, of course, Casey Royal Man, Troy Olson, and I am joined in studio by Mike Engel. Mike, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well.
So it's been a rough week for the Royals. So, you know, it's kind of funny. We were so good there for a little while. Country Breakfast had his breakout, and it looked like things were going well. Now Country Breakfast seems to be back to being just a side dish, and he's just a set of eggs right now, I think. I don't think he's got any protein at all recently, and it's been just a rough go-around, and now we have the Yankees and Red Sox coming to town.
Yeah, that's insult to injury right there. You know, the Royals just came back from a 7-game road trip, swept in Tampa, including just a heartbreaker. I mean, that third game was about as grumpy as I felt after a Royals loss in a long time. And, I mean, I've been a Royals fan for years and years, so it's not like...
I'm Mr. Optimist, and I think Brian told me I had to get off the cliff because I was so upset.
We were sending out a search party. We're like, has anybody heard from Casey Royal, man?
I mean, he goes, I just, all I do is play the extremes. I'm either super happy guy or super mad guy, but I guess that's what I am, but it was nuts.
I
saw a stat, I don't remember if it was immediately after that game or soon thereafter, but at that point we were 48-48 in games where less than 7 runs were scored by the opposition. In games where 8 or more have been scored, we've only won twice.
Jeez.
So that's how important pitching is to this team. We can't give up more than 7 runs, but we've done that twice now since that stat that I know for sure, so we're at least 48-50. But still, I would take 2 games under 500 right now rather than 21.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this team, it's a young team, and I think that's – I hate to say it's an excuse because, you know, there shouldn't be an excuse for a professional baseball team to continue to lose. But, you know, when you look at this team, they're trotting out a lineup where the average age is less than 25, which is about as young as you'll ever see in the big leagues. You know, the infield alone, you know, the oldest player on the infield is Johnny Giovitella and – Alcides Escobar. I think they're both 24 years old, and those are the guys who are seen as the, you know, two of the key components to this team turning it around. So it takes a while to adjust to that kind of expectation, especially when, you know, Escobar, this is his first, it's first time really trying to do both sides, playing outstanding defense and kind of being expected to produce a little bit in the lineup. And then Giovitella has only been up a couple of weeks. So, you know, you're going to expect some growing pains, which, you know, at some point that has to turn around. But right now, you know, don't panic. Step back off the ledge, you know.
But I don't want to.
I know.
It's nice and comfy out here all by myself.
Well, I don't think
you're all by yourself. There's a lot of people ready to jump sometimes.
I can't find it right now, but don't quote me on these ages, but I believe the infield average age is 21, and the outfield's average age is 23 or 24. And
the outfield, they're all 27.
Okay, so then it's 27, but maybe the whole average of the whole team is 24 right now or something. It's something
stupid. At least their offense, yeah.
They're 6 years on average younger than I am.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, we got 20-year-old kids playing big league baseball for the Kansas City Royals, and for the most part, doing it well. You know, we've had some great times the last couple of months, and we've had more bad times. And this team went from looking like it was going to be a team that actually maybe did win 70-75 there in the last few weeks, and now we're. I think you have to wonder if we are going to lose 100 again.
I think they're safe from 100. They would have to go something like 13-35 the rest of the way, which isn't out of the question. But at the same time, you know, the pitching's not as bad as it's been in the past. The bullpen isn't as bad as it's been in the past. And, you know, there are some good young hitters on here that are figuring out the game. It's just a matter of things gelling, people getting enough experience. I mean, they're not out of the woods yet until they get that 63rd win. You know, all bets are off.
But, right.
So you never know. I mean, they could turn around and lose 19 in a row, and a 7-game set against Bostic isn't going to help that. But
Dave Darby is trying to help us out in the chat room at livestream.com/Royal Man Report. Of course, you found us some way, some download. You can get us through iTunes, many different ways. Stitcher Radio, one of our favorites if you've got an Android. If you've got any phone, honestly, BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, Stitcher Radio, check it out. It's a pretty cool little device for us.
My new favorite app.
They just did an update today for those of you that were like me and having crashing problems or problems jumping within the show. It's supposed to be fixed in the new update that came down today. So we'll check that out after the show. But Dave Darby, 46, is helping us out, saying that it's 25 for the team. Next youngest team is 27. And Bannon Ross KC says that's the Padres. So definitely the youngest team in baseball. Padres are the youngest team in the NL. You know, it's just it's crazy to think about how young this team is. And honestly, they're not playing horrible, but they've got to get a little bit better than where they're at.
They're just not good enough. I was looking – I wish I had written this down, but there is. I was looking at their record in one-run games. And going into, I think it was maybe Thursday's game, they were 20-23 in one-run games or something like that. You know, so that's how close they are. If you win five of those that you otherwise would have lost, you know, you're 25-18 in one-run games. And five games is a big swing. I mean, you know, it's a difference between being, you know, right there at 500 or being 76-86.
I got a homework assignment really quick because I forgot to write some down too. Homework assignment for somebody in the chat room, if you do want to grab this for me. I need to know what Jason Adams' last start was. It's Jason A-D-A-M. He's in Kane County. We didn't check his last start to see he threw his no-hitter. So if somebody could get that for us, and we can talk about that either on the other side. But, of course, Jason Adams was on our last show, and we told him that, you know, we had Lee Warren on from Omaha, and they threw the no-hitter that was and wasn't and was and wasn't.
Right.
And wasn't. and then we had on Eric Edelstein from whose last name I'm just going to slaughter till the end of time. he's from AA at Northwest Arkansas, and they had the combined no-hitter, and that actually was a no-hitter. And that was really cool to think about the fact that we're hurting and pitching and to see these guys actually having – that kind of talent down there with some surprising guys. Granted, you know, AAA is AAA and AA is AA, but
it's still a no-hitter.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's not like they throw those every day.
You sure would like that to translate to the pros, hopefully. You know, in other news, if you didn't check out last week's episode, Jason was on it, and that was a real good episode. We were real proud to have him on. He's a great, great guy, and he gave a lot of insight to Bubba Watch.
Yeah, which is something I think we'll probably talk about that a little later, but it's definitely, you know, nice to get his kind of point of view for that whole situation of being a draft pick and being a high draft pick and having to choose between signing your bonus or going to college where, you know, you have a commitment and making that decision, which can't be easy for anybody, much less, you know, when there's millions of dollars or, you know, a dream of playing Nebraska football.
Right. You know, that's a big deal, man.
Anyway,
I'm not after this whole A&M thing.
Yeah,
any
Aggies fans out there?
Right, you guys have got your life sucks.
Yeah,
forever your
You're
life is going to suck.
If you thought Texas gave you crap first, I mean,
we've got a lot of listeners. We actually have a lot of listeners in Texas, and if any of those Texas listeners are Aggie fans, I sympathize for you. But you're in bad shape. And any of those listeners are Texas fans, well, I hate your team. But
right.
You guys are going to get a rub this in for a long time. We just saw how powerful Texas is. How bad everybody wants to run away, but can't get away. Anyways, also on the last show, we were joined in studio, or not in studio, but on the phone with A10 Sports' Jed Marshall. He's the producer on Three Guys in a Garage. He does all their college basketball and most of their baseball stuff. He was talking about Johnny Giovitella, Mike Moustakas, and Gerard Dyson, who he was good friends with. So if you didn't catch last week's episode, we did all that, plus talked a little more on Blog in the K, which is two episodes ago. So please check those episodes out. They're available for download at whatever your favorite source is. Of course, ours would be for you to go to RoyalManReport.com, which is on the Kings of Kaufman website, which is, of course, where this show is hosted. In last show as well, Dave Darby, 46, unleashed the Royal Man Report drinking game. Check that out. I believe you've got the...
I don't have it posted yet.
It's not posted. You have to go listen to the old show first to get the rules. We'll get it posted up. I have it at home.
Yeah.
So
when we refer to country breakfast, you have to drink.
Every time that Mike refers to somebody under 18, you have to drink. Every time Mike refers to his fantasy football team, you have to drink, apparently. That's something new. But
had my first mock draft today, so my draft's in 2 weeks.
He was polluting our Twitter feeds with that.
I got Michael Vick in the first round, which is not what I expect to happen on draft day.
That's not going to really matter. We'll see. But today we've got a lot of good stuff going on. We've got, of course, the last 10 minutes that you've already heard. And if you joined us in the live stream at livestream.com/RoyalManReport, or you can get it by just going to RoyalManReport.com. Either way works. If you were in the... if you were in the room, you saw our 4 minutes of pre-show that is going to be an outtake now because we had a moment. But
something went weird.
That's why it's always good to show up for the live stream and see what's going on. So always come early and join it because we've got a lot of good stuff going on before the show. I'll try to have some fun in the chat room. Of course, this show we're going to have to talk about Kyle Davies.
Yeah, Kyle Davies had a pretty rough week.
He's had the worst week of anybody in this room, let's put it that way.
And right, yeah.
We'll talk a lot about that in our next segment with Craig Brown of Royals Authority. He'll be his first time joining us by phone.
Yep.
We also will talk about the catcher situation. You know, the youth movement just continues on with Sal coming up. And we've already talked about the week in review with Tampa and the White Sox. You've probably heard enough about that, and I don't think anybody else wants to hear about that anymore, so we'll just cross that off the list. And then, of course, the last thing that I wanted to talk about as we're going to break here is Johnny Giovitella showed his defensive problems this week. So,
yeah, he had a pretty rough play, and that's kind of what the scouting report is. He'll make some plays. He had a great snag today, but there's also plays that are fairly routine that he needs to make that he's just isn't getting.
Chris
Getz
was brought in a close game as a defensive replacement. Expect to see that a lot. We'll be back on the other side with Craig. On your way out, you're going to get a listen to some 49 Stones. We'll be back.
Kyle Davies is done. I mean, nice guy. Good luck with your kid.
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. I am Casey Royal Man. That was our good friend Brian McGannon from one of our early shows before the injury and everything happened. But I just thought it was perfect for, because I do believe Kyle Davies may indeed be done.
Quite prophetic.
And good luck with your kids, sir. Craig Brown from RoyalsAuthority.com joins us, I believe. Craig, you there? So we might have to call Craig right back here. But let's kind of break down the timeline for you real quick, and we'll grab Craig when he comes back in. But the timeline goes something like this. Kyle Davies gets hurt. He goes down to Florida where they do their rehab at, and he's down there doing rehab. We find out Brian Pena is going to have a – hey, Craig, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right.
Craig Brown from RoyalsAuthority.com does join us now. We had some problems with the phone line there, but we got you in here. I don't know if you were listening or not as we were coming back, but Brian McGannon, who's one of the guys on this show, he had a great line a few shows back where he says Kyle Davies is done. Good luck with he's a nice guy, but good luck with your kid. And that kind of, I think, summarizes what has gone on with Kyle Davies lately. We were kind of going over the timeline that Davies got hurt and he went to rehab down in Florida because that's where Casey does their rehab. Brian Pena had a baby, which meant Sal Perez was coming to the big leagues, and he had to get a spot on the 40-man because he wasn't on there yet. And there were early reports was that Jesse Chavez was done. Yeah, he was going to be
reports or speculation. I think Bob Dutton had said something that was the expected move.
Right.
And then the next day, it was not the move that the Royals did.
In fact, Kyle Davies was released. Everybody kind of surprised, but, I mean, he had been rough. So, and then it breaks. The greatest moment in recent Royals history.
Well, I don't know about greatest.
It was pretty good. You got to admit it. I think it made a lot more Royals fans laugh than not laugh.
Kyle Davies is done. I mean, nice guy. Good luck with your kid.
Yeah. That about there covers it. Yeah. And it breaks the Kyle Davies mugshot, which could have apparently been pulled off this website for a mere $100. So whoever his agent is needs fired because they could have avoided all this with just $100. So, you know, that's kind of crazy. But, Craig, you wrote an article a long time ago now that actually got a little bit of national pub about Kyle Davies being the worst pitcher of all time, and I'll let you talk about that for just a minute.
All right. Well, first, guys, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Quite an honor to be on the Royal Man Report. I don't know. I've never been a fan of Kyle Davies. I mean, last year, the way that I was kind of looking at it, and I don't know, maybe you guys saw it the same way. I was looking at Brian Bannister and Kyle Davies. To me, they're the same pitcher, and that just means they're not very good. I mean, just looking at it from a statistical standpoint and you know, not like what they throw or anything like that, but just they bring the same results to the team. They're not very good. I figured that the Royals would keep one of them, and I figured that they would keep Bannister because Bannister seemed to have a little bit more.
Did we lose him again? We're having some trouble. Are you still there, Craig?
Are you,
we yeah, lost I'm you here, for just I'm a here. Second there. Keep going.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I was surprised that they kept Davies over Bannister, and I was even more surprised that they settled on a contract for $3.2 million.
Right.
Because,
right.
I mean,
which everybody,
whoa, come on.
And everybody thought that they had it, that it was actually 2.3, and I think it was corrected that he actually got $2.3 million, and then it came around that no, the Royals actually gave him $3.2 million, which is more mind blowing.
Yeah, just it totally didn't make any sense that they were going to do that, especially this year when all of a sudden they decide to be fiscally responsible. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And so back in April, I'm watching another Davies disaster start, and I had done for the Royals Authority annual that we didn't put it out this year, but a couple of years ago we put out a publication, and you know I'd go back and kind of review all the players and just kind of, you know, get a snapshot of what they've done, where they were going, and one of the things that I remember seeing back then, and this was like 3 years ago, was that Davies just was the master of the disaster start, which is to say non-quality start, which is what, six innings and three earned runs or less.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching him get pounded again, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's go out and see, you know, where he is now, because that was, like I said, 2 years ago, and he was at the bottom of the list. His percentage of quality starts for his career at that point was like 28%. That's just an abysmal number. No, I'm looking it up right now. 33%. I don't want to sell the guy short.
Much better.
I mean, yeah. when you're struggling that much, 5% counts, right?
So
yeah, 33% of all of his starts qualified as quality starts. That is just a horrible number. I mean, a quality start is something that really you should be able to get, like, you know, 50% of the time. Other guys that were on this list, I ran the five worst. The guy that was four spots away from him was Jason Bure, who I remember with the White Sox all those years ago. He was at 42%. So, I mean, Davies is like 10 percentage points behind Jason Bure. I mean, come on. And then I start running all these other numbers, too. You know, and I decided, because he had about 750 innings at that point in his career, and, you know, more than enough. And that's the thing that just kills me about the Royals, is they're always out there. They're like, well, you know, we got to give him a chance. We need to see what he can do. And I'm like, guys, he's pitched for 5 years in the big leagues.
Well,
what more do you need to see?
Not only that, you don't give a guy a chance at $3.2 million. You give a guy a chance at veteran minimum. What are you doing paying this guy $3.2 million when he's not putting up numbers that make sense with that? And then, kind of an offshoot of this, but the original offer to Billy Butler in arbitration was less than the $3.2 they offered to Kyle Davies. And if I was Butler, I'd have said, oh, yeah, no way. If you're going to give Kyle Davies $3.2, I'm worth at least that. You know, and it's just like, it's just crazy. But I just, this whole thing with Kyle Davies, he's bad. We all know that. And it, at what point, you know, now, at what point does another team pick him up, guys? I mean, is there really somebody that needs this guy that bad?
Well, I mean, apparently not for the rest of the season. I mean, because that's why the Royals released him. He's hurt. And so I don't think he's going to pitch again this season. You know, I mean, gosh, I'll follow the Brian Bannister parallel a little bit more and say, I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up in Japan next summer pitching for a team in that league.
Yeah, he has to reestablish value. He's kind of damaged goods at this point.
Well, and not only, but I guess there is going to be a suit against the Royals from the MLB Players Association, because
yeah,
you cannot release a guy that's hurt.
They'll usually file a grievance for stuff like that. So
I wondered about that. I thought that was just really kind of odd. The Royals stick with him for so long, and then, I mean, he's 2 months away from the end of his contract. I mean, he's going to be a free agent, and obviously the Royals aren't going to offer him arbitration or attempt to bring him back in any way, shape, or form. And so why now? I mean, I know that you need to clear up that 40-man spot, and I mean, I assume, too, like everybody else, it would be Chavez, but still, it looks bad, doesn't it? I mean, that the guy is you know, on the DL, and has arm trouble, shoulder problems, and you cut him loose, you know, 2 months away from the end of his contract. I mean, there's something there. It doesn't pass the smell test. And I mean, we found out, right, that he was popped for that drunken disorderly before he was released.
You know, and that's what's so funny about it, is that it wasn't just a DUI. I mean, if you get a DUI, that's one thing. Tony La Russa's a pro at those. So, you know, that you can have those and still come back to the major leagues. But you can't get a drunken disorderly, and that you're going to have a lot of trouble. And this isn't the first time the Royals have done this. There was a single-A guy that Greg Schaum threw up on his Twitter that had gotten busted for pot, and they immediately just cut him. They weren't even playing.
Gerard Hall?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was an all-star in the Carolina League, I think.
And they're just not playing around. They apparently want some sort of quality with their guys, and they're not messing around, which is funny, figuring who we just traded for in the Greinke deal. You know, that we're having we've got this newfound stance against pot and alcohol abuse. But it's interesting that the Royals are taking this kind of an attitude. And, you know, what was funny about it all was Davies wasn't going back into the starting rotation. I truly believe that 100%, that if he was coming back, he was not coming back as a starter. Because when I talked to Dayton Moore at Blog of the K, which you can get on an earlier podcast from us at royalmanreport.com, he mentioned, I mean, they were vehement about it's a five-man rotation. They were not you know, backing off of that. And one guy asked him about a six-man rotation question, and then he followed it up with another six-man rotation question, which did not go well with with the powers that be that were standing like, behind Dayton, because if you listen, you can hear both Swanee and Dayton emphasize that there is no six-man rotation and that there will be, you know, they don't say there won't be a six-man rotation, but it was perfectly clear that
heavy
it was a
discouragement to the idea.
So there was already talk, there had already been talk that they were probably going to let him come off the DL and then cut him, I would assume.
The weird thing is, the only, unless I'm mistaken, the only player that's on the 60-day DL right now is Jason Kendall. I could be wrong about that, but that would have freed up a 40-man roster spot. If that's the case...
Exactly.
I think that's probably where this grievance would come from, and that's where it kind of looks a little fishy.
The thing is, I don't understand why they can file a grievance, because he gets paid. You know,
yeah, he's going to get paid no matter what.
It'd be one thing if he wasn't getting paid, but at the end of the day, he's getting paid. But we've got about a minute left. If you, Craig, you got any closing thoughts or anything you want to shoot off about Royals Authority coming up?
Well, you know, we got the same, you know, hopefully quality stuff rolling along on RoyalsAuthority.com.
Would that be quality stuff or great stuff?
I think people have to drink out there.
See, we have a Royal Man Report drinking game, and every time we say great stuff.
We're consistently inconsistent at times, you know. I mean, we're all over the place. I mean, it's, you know, hopefully some good stuff that people enjoy reading about the Royals, and, you know, traffic is good these days. Interest is up. I mean, you guys have started this podcast, which is, you know, pretty successful because the young guys are coming, the process is rolling along. It's a good time to be a Royals fan, even though they can still pull a 1-6 road trip every once in a while. But, you know, we got some good stuff going, and the future's looking good.
You know, life could be worse. Craig, thanks for coming on. Stay on the line for just a second. But for the rest of you, stay right there. We'll be right back. We got all sorts of good Royals talk on the other side coming up. We'll be right back on the other side. Thanks.
You're a peach, you're a gem, you're a prince among men. Love is a blessing, I know. Oh, but I got my eye on the mystery prize, and it gets to me. Open while guarding its gates, but love is a force.
Welcome back into the Royal Man Report. Big thanks to Craig Brown of Royals Authority for coming on to talk a little Kyle Davies with us. I mean, he couldn't have been more timely with Kyle getting cut and everything, and his article. If you guys haven't seen that, just go to royalsauthority.com and search for Kyle Davies. I'm sure you'll find the article, but it was pretty good. There was some people that said, oh, you can't say that. No pitcher that has 700 starts is really as bad as that article makes them out to be, but if there is a pitcher that's bad, it's Kyle.
I think, any other team probably would have moved him to the bullpen or just cut him outright. I think with the Royals, they just had such a need for people who could eat up innings for a couple of years that, you know, it just was circumstance. He just stuck around, and he's a former Brave. So,
yeah. And he was a Dayton boy to begin with. And, I think we've all been like that. We've had things in our life that we didn't want to let go of, be it ex-girlfriends or, you know, whatever it might be. I know I've had an ex once or twice that I should have broken up with a lot sooner than I did. So, on to other news.
Anyway.
Yes. Transitioning back into something that is not oddly awkward there.
Well, I don't think there's any way to get away from oddly awkward
with
those
two, right?
Yeah.
Jason Adam, who was on last week, like we said, he did not complete the no-hitter.
No.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. Anyways, he not able to get the no-hitter. He actually takes a loss. He's going to be a great future Royal.
Still had a good start, though.
This is the kind of life of a Royal right here. He takes the loss. His ERA was 1.69. In the game started, 5.1 innings, which is pretty normal for a single-A pitcher. They only throw about five innings.
Yeah, and they had him on a pitch count, he said, last week. So.
Right. Five hits, four runs, only one earned. Now, mind you, the week before, it was something very similar to that. I guess not the August 7th start. All of his last few starts have been good, but he's been hampered by his defense not being behind him. But one earned run, four runs scored, one earned. No homers, no walks, three strikeouts, and a .217 against batting average. So he looked pretty good.
Yep. Well done, Jason.
Well done, Jason. You definitely get the Royal Man Report seal of approval on that. So good job by him, and he's a great guy. So I hope
yep.
That we get him back on later this year. We hope to have him in studio during the off season. And when we do one of our off-season shows, whatever they might be, he does live here in Kansas City. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I can find somebody that knows Bubba Starling and wants Bubba Steins tomorrow.
Right.
We can get maybe both of them in studio one day.
If he signs tomorrow.
And we're going to go with he signs tomorrow.
Right.
I am probably one of the biggest Nebraska football fans there is, and I cannot see any possible way you turn down $8 to $10.2 million.
No, I mean, especially when it's not guaranteed that he's going to play at Nebraska right away anyway. What time is it right now?
It is 7:37 Central Time.
So we've got about, 27 and a half hours until the draft pick signing deadline, which is going to be at 11 p.m. Central Time tomorrow night. So that's the deadline that the Royals have to come to an agreement with Bubba Starling.
Hopefully in this next CBA they move this date back. It's stupid that we've waited. When was the draft? It was like the middle of July, right?
First week of June.
So, there's no reason that you can't have this the third week of July.
Yeah, and the thing, I read a lot of baseball stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And Kevin Goldstein of Baseball Prospectus does an excellent podcast with Jason Parks. And they were talking about these kind of things. And Dayton Moore even said this, so this is just more reinforcement, that a lot of these first-round guys, the negotiations don't even start until about 48 to 72 hours. And that's probably what's happening right now, is that, you know, the Royals are talking to Bubba and figuring out what it's going to take, and then it's going to go up to the end. And that's normal. So there's no reason to panic. It's just, you know, until it's official, you just don't know.
I'll try to cut out for all of you that download, and those listening live, you might want to download the podcast this week. I'll try to cut out the interview that we had with Dayton Moore at Blog to the K, or you can go listen to it at Blog. If you're listening live, you can go to the Blog to the K show and listen to Dayton's interview towards the end. He talks about somebody finally asked the Bubba Starling question. I wasn't going to ask it. I think it's been killed. So, but he asked, and he even said that they don't even start talking until the last 40 hours. And the thing is, it could be done, but
they can't announce it. They can't sign it because it's got to be approved by Major League Baseball.
By Bud Selig and his power hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy just bugs the snot out of me.
Yeah, but as you were saying, the CBA, there's probably going to be hard slotting next year. But I really do hope that they do set the deadline earlier because, you know, there's two great examples or two guys that we've talked to on this show. Last year, Christian Colon was a first-round draft pick. signed within a week or two. Maybe it was even that next week. And he ended up getting 60 games at high A, you know, and that really benefited him because now he's in double A, you know, within a year and a month of being drafted. Whereas Jason Adam, who we talked to last week, was a fifth round draft pick. And because they either couldn't negotiate or wouldn't allow the signing to be official or whatever, it went all the way to the end, to the deadline, which was too late to get him into any rookie leagues. So Jason Adam, you know, lost out on a month or so of time that he could have been in instructional leagues. He could have pitched at rookie levels. And you know, I think if you move it up to July 31st or something, July 16th, you know, a month from the draft, you're not missing out on anything for negotiations because, you know, most of the time they go to the very end anyway, you know, and there are only like 2 days of negotiations. So why not move the deadline up and be able to get these guys into uniform, get them on the field? That's why you're negotiating with them, is to get them out there. And
the only thing I can think is the Bud likes to mess with the NFL. And I'm not sure if there's a Monday Night Football game tomorrow night or not, but
there is.
See, this can totally like screw, you know, it keeps you interested in baseball a little longer into football season, because we're already seeing it, how football's got, not just in Kansas City, but everywhere. And I don't think football would be gone in Kansas City if this Royals team gets good. I mean, you drive down I-70, you don't see a Chiefs logo on the side of the road. You see a Royals logo
at
the bend there. But I think this town's going to come back to baseball very quick, and it's going to be players like Bubba Starling that get it done. One note on Kevin Goldstein. I want to tie into that before we get too far.
Yeah.
Mike had saw that Kevin posted, Goldstein posted, mostly in jest, that he was looking for a co-host because Professor Parks was ill or out.
Ill or he's on assignment.
Yeah, he was unable to perform. And he was on the PUP list. And so he wasn't going to be able to appear until the next episode of their podcast. And we sent my name in to Mr. Goldstein. And what the heck?
I mean, why not?
And he actually did send me a direct message back. They ended up getting Jonah Carey.
No, they got Jay Jaffe.
Oh, did they go with Jaffe? Okay, because Jonah Carey had said that he would do it too.
Yeah.
So obviously people a lot better known than me.
I mean, they're both baseball prospectus guys. Yeah. And, you know, that makes sense. I mean,
maybe not better than me, but better known. But anyways, he did send me a direct message. I couldn't direct message him back because he doesn't follow me, but he did send me a direct message and said he'd come on the show. I have sent him an email. I have not heard back. So I hope for everybody's sake that we can get Kevin Goldstein on here. I think he would be great.
I mean, he's connected to so many people. He talks to executives. He talks to scouts. You know, he's scouted before. He knows his stuff. And they put on a really good podcast. So I would say, you know, set up on Stitcher, set up a station with the Royal Man Report. That's got to be your first thing. And then the Up and In podcast from Baseball Perspective should be your second.
And then you can do like me, and I don't know if Mike's got it or not. He should, as much as he's been talking about fantasy football, but you can, you know, do like ESPN's fantasy football cast there to help you with your fantasy football league. And so,
not that I need help, but.
Right. Three-time
champ.
Yeah.
This is our 11th year. I've won it three times. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that
record
that
speaks for itself.
That's going to be all the fantasy football chat you get on here for a little while. But with that being said, we may do some of that towards October. We'll see how this arrangement that I'm going to talk about in the fourth segment goes, and we may have some more fancy football talk, pro football talk, a lot of things on the Royal Man Report you wouldn't expect coming up here starting in October when there's no more baseball. But staying with what we're doing, you know, Moose and Country Breakfast aren't really producing the high-protein diet right now.
Well, Butler's been okay. It's, sometimes you can just kind of have those periods where you don't hit as well. But he's been driving in some runs. He drove in a couple runs the other night. It just hasn't been a lot of homers, you know. But when you're comparing it to that week where he hit 5 over 4 games, that's pretty tough to match up against. Moustakas, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. He's playing okay defense. And he's solid there, which is at least a good sign that he's still in the game. He's, you know, he hasn't checked out, but I mean, he's kind of running into everything that he's not really swinging well. He's being a little impatient. He's also getting some bad luck. I mean, he had a shot that almost took off Jake Peavy's arm the other night, and you know, just happened to go right to the glove. So.
He's doing what Billy Butler did the last couple of years, where he's hitting balls hard, and a hard out is still an out. But you know, this is something we've seen from Francoeur. It's something we've seen from Butler, and now Moustakas. These guys can all hit. Francoeur strikes out too much, but Billy's not been, or Country Breakfast hasn't been driving in runs successfully when they're on base. And that's the one thing that aggravates me. You know, everybody wants the home runs, including George Brett, but I'll just take the RBIs. And he left a couple of guys on today on a strikeout, and he popped out yesterday with a couple of guys on. And it's just crazy. You got to drive those runs in when you're the country breakfast. That's what we expect. You know, that's the high protein we need out of that diet. So.
But he's not trailing any of the other guys by that much. I mean, he's got, what, 65 RBIs, and Melky leads the team with 70? I mean, that's not too bad.
Bannon Ross Casey did mention he had a great dig at first today, and he did. He looked really – he looked fully capable
for a guy who hasn't been out there maybe a month.
So maybe Ned's going to be an astronaut now.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
If you didn't get a chance, please download the Blog to the K episode, and in there's an interview with Moustakas. So take a look at that, and it was definitely – a worthwhile interview, and it gave us an idea. So if you got any suggestions on what's been going on with Billy Butler, or you got any opinions, give us a call, 816-394-9578. I forgot for a second. It's right behind me on the wall, and I just totally forgot. And my producer was so nice over here. Gnurk's trying to show me the number, and I couldn't see. So I even had my glasses on today.
I had to jump in for just a second. We only have like a minute left here. But I did tell you I had gotten some presents for you. They're kind of the thrift store Christmas. This one's for you, Royal
awesome.
Man, and oddly enough, one for Mike that seems more appropriate now that I know he's into fantasy football.
Show me the money.
So,
Royal Man first.
There. Our producer, Gnurk, over here, he got us a couple of gifts here. I got a VHS copy of Field of Dreams.
You can't get those anymore.
You cannot.
No, you can't.
I'm pretty sure I don't even have a way to play this, but we'll figure that out.
It could be your in-studio copy if you
there,
want.
There you go.
Troy, is this heaven?
Jerry Maguire.
You had me at hello.
You had me.
I
think that's how we ended up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I was singing Lionel Richie earlier.
There you go.
Anyway,
you know, if you
what show is this?
I don't know what's happened, but we're going to go to break.
All right.
We're going to try to get ourselves back together. We got a lot coming over on the other side. We got to talk about some minor league stuff, and Mike wants to talk about some starting pitching options because God darn it, we need them. So we'll be right back here on the Royal Man Report. Segment of the Royal Man Report. We're going to go ahead and try to get this back together. A couple of things from the chat room real quick at royalmanreport.com. You can join our live stream chat room. Bannon Ross KC asked how the Trevor Bauer deal got done so fast then. And, you know, he was just a guy that wanted to sign, and I guess the money was right to him. And it was just like Christian Colon. Colon knew he wanted to sign. He wanted to get into camp and get to playing again. You know, these guys, I think...
And Colon signed right at slot level. He you know, Major League Baseball assigns these... They're kind of suggestions for what a draft pick should be paid for their bonus, and he signed right on it. You know, I don't remember if Bauer was a senior or not, because that sometimes has... You know, a lot of the deal is, you know, high school players have a lot of leverage because they can always go to college. And so they can demand a big bonus. For instance, Will Myers was a third-round draft pick, but he got a $2 million bonus in 2009, and it was the slot was $380,000. So he got five times more what baseball recommended because the Royals, you know, had to pay him that money to get him to actually come into the organization. So, but yeah, if Bauer was a senior or he knew that was the money.
Well, and Bauer was the guy that a lot of people think Kansas City had their thumb on. And once again, we miss out on the guy by one pick. I think that's who Dayton Moore wanted.
Yeah.
Because he's got great stuff too. So I'm sure Dayton would have loved to have him.
You know,
he's got a great brain. I mean, he's a smart guy, and you know, some of the chat's saying that he's similar to a Tim Lincecum type. I don't like to compare players.
He's got a lot of the same kind of delivery though. And you know, Lincecum's a smart guy and has his own routine, and Bauer is kind of notable for having, you know, a lot of the long toss questions that have come up since the draft and before the draft, you know, he's kind of been in the middle of that because he has a program where he'll throw foul line to foul line. And a lot of teams really didn't want to draft him because of that. And,
right.
You know,
I don't understand all that long toss stuff. I guess it's just out of my...
It's a way to build arm strength. And a lot of these guys, you know, Noel Arguelles, who was an international signing over last winter, has just been shut down. He was in Wilmington, mostly because they just want to limit his innings. You know, there's no injury or anything, but he's had shoulder problems in the past. But he's a long tosser, and he wasn't doing it during the season, and you saw a 3 or 4 mile per hour drop on his fastball. So the velocity changes, but he's still going to be throwing while he's kind of shut down for the rest of the offseason. So
Bannon Ross Casey added that apparently Bauer's dad is an engineer, and he designed a whole new style of pitching for Bauer, and that's got a lot to do with how well he pitches. So, you know, Trevor Bauer is going to be a great pitcher in the pros, and you know, I assume that Starling will sign. Bubba Starling, will sign.
I mean, it's tough to pass up.
I mean, we talked, you know, with Jason, and Jason Adams said, you know, obviously he wanted to be a Royal and he didn't have as many options, you know, but he could have went to Mizzou.
Yeah.
But the money was right to him, and that was $800,000. We're talking 10 times that.
And the thing is, Bubba was a number 5 overall pick. I mean, how much higher do you have to go? Especially when you consider that baseball is probably going to redo the CBA so that the slotting is what you get, kind of like the rookie wage scale in the NFL.
I was talking,
you know,
with
he could actually lose money by being a higher draft pick in 3 years.
Right. So he needs to take the money now while the getting's good. Yeah. Craig Scholes, what's his Twitter handle? Or not Craig, I'm sorry. I screwed that up. from Pine Tar Press.
Clint Scholes.
Clint Scholes. Sorry, yeah. I had Craig Brown in the brain. Spell Clint's Twitter handle for me, would you? If you know it off the top of your head.
It's just Clint and Scholes, S-C-O-L-E-S. He just changed it.
Yeah, he changed it to his
real
name.
Because it was K.S. Colin Y.
Yeah, it was a little harder, and it was harder to say. It didn't roll off the tongue.
So thanks for changing that for us, Clint. It makes it a lot easier for us to point people to you.
They're doing a Bubba countdown deal over at Pine Tar Press tomorrow night, I think starting around 9 o'clock. But check out pinetarpress.com to check that out. You know, Greg Chom's a good friend of ours, and he's going to come in. He said he's going to come in and do his year-end awards with us, and I think that'll be really cool. So that's something to look forward to as well. A lot of great things happening, honestly, on this program behind the scenes. You know, you have an article out on Kings of Kauffman about who are our starting pitching options. You know, you got Hochaver, you got Polino, you got Duffy, and then who else?
Well, those right now are the only guys who are actually going to be under contract in any way next year. Chen and Jeff Francis are both guys who were signed to one-year deals. So I kind of expect the Royals to keep one of them around, but, you know, there's no real guarantee to that. But I was kind of thinking, you know, the Royals are going to need help. I mean, there's always the potential that they're going to move Greg Holland or Lewis Coleman or Aaron Crow to the rotation, and that's fine. And Mike Montgomery might look better in spring and be a guy who can step up and be another guy, you know, and that's fine. But there are options out there on the free agent market that the Royals may have the money to spend. You know, their payroll next year is estimated at like $40-some million, 41.
Yeah. And, you know, Dayton did say at current attendance levels they could afford 55, so
right.
That's 15
mil. So they can add a little bit more.
There's really nobody out there. And I asked Dayton in that Blog to the K interview about Wandy Rodriguez, and he honestly pretty much said Wandy is not good enough for the money he's making to be on this team. And I agree with him. There's a lot of people that want Wandy here, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah,
so
that's where this kind of came from, is I wasn't sure you know, he's out there. Anybody can claim him and pick him up and take that contract. But he's been fairly inconsistent. So it got me thinking about other options that may be out there. And there are a couple. It's pretty thin pitching market. There's like Edwin Jackson is one guy who I don't like. There's okay. kind of some buzz around him, but he's pretty average.
Yeah.
Chris Carpenter is going to be a free agent, but there's a team option that they may exercise. But he's also 37. He's had labrum surgery, which is what Gil Mesh had. He's had bone spurs in his elbow.
He's also injury prone. He's at the end. Yeah. It's not who you want.
Yeah. You don't want, it's not worth the investment that you'll have to do. There are interesting guys like C.J. Wilson is going to be probably the biggest guy.
Yeah, and he's not interested in coming to Kansas City.
Oh, that's too bad for him. Mark Burley's another guy who I don't see him on any other team but the White Sox, but the White Sox really haven't been talking to him. And it seems like he's like in his late 30s. It seems kind of like, you know, Jeff Francoeur seems like he'd be in his early 30s, mid-30s. Burley's only going to be 33 at the start of next season, which surprised me because he's been around for 10 years. He averages 33 starts a year, 200 innings every year. He does not get hurt. He doesn't walk people. So I think he'd be an absolute perfect fit for the Royals. He makes $14 million this year. I would assume he'd probably make around that next year.
So, Bannon Russ KC says Adam Wainwright's option didn't vest, so he'll be out there. If he's out there, that would be one guy I would want, and that would be about where the line starts and ends. So
it didn't. I think they can still – I think it's automatically vesting. So if he reaches a certain amount of games started or innings pitched, it automatically vests so that he's with the Cardinals. It's only a $9 million salary, and he's 30 years old. There's absolutely no way that the Cardinals are going to let him go anywhere.
Yeah, he's a Cardinal for life.
Yeah, he was someone I considered, and then I started looking at it, and that vesting option is actually something that I don't think it's required.
They're naming a lot of options in the chat room right now. I just would tell everybody, go to Kings of Kaufman, check out the article. Mike works really hard on these articles, so we're not going to give you everything on the air. Go to Kings of Kaufman and check out what him and his team's done and read their articles. They got a lot of good stuff out there. We're getting down here into the last few minutes, and I wanted to hit on a few different things here before we get too far out. One, it's not official yet. You know, it's kind of like those contracts that are signed and you can't announce them yet. We've got a verbal agreement currently with Kelly's Westport Inn, and I hope to lock that down and get everything squared away. But please stop into Kelly's this week if you're out and about, and tell them you heard about him on the Royal Man Report and give him a little love. Also, in the meanwhile, we would like you to give us a call at 816-394-9578. Hit us up on Twitter at Royal Man Report, or send us an email at royalmanreport@gmail.com. That's royalmanreport@gmail.com. And tell us what you like and don't like about the show. We're going to start doing a few format changes over the next few weeks. We're going to try to do some stuff different because of our arrangement with Kelly's. And one thing I want you guys to understand is this show was always scripted to have commercials in it. That's why the breaks are there. So the music will be starting to cut back. I know a lot of people have said they don't like the music. So let us know what you like about the music or how much music you would like or what you would like to see in those segment breaks. But we will never be like some stations here in town. We will never, ever give you 45 minutes of commercials and 15 minutes of sports. The whole point of this show.
Darn it, I wanted to talk about grilling.
Right. The whole point of this show, and I'm not taking a shot in 810. They got to do what they got to do, and I love 810 sports. You know, that's where Three Guys in a Garage is. I love 610 sports. I think we're very lucky to have two sports stations in this town. Denver doesn't have that, and they're a much bigger sports city than we are, so they claim. And I lived out there for 7 years, and they don't have nearly the fans that are here. So that's one reason I'm a bigger Royals fan than a Rockies fan, because it's a lot more fun to be a fan here. But, you know, let us know what music you want to hear, what you want to hear in those breaks. You know, we're still going to probably have about a minute of music time. We're working on some other stuff for those breaks. But, you know, give us some ideas. We got some ideas from different people on Twitter this last week. And Mike and I are going to go out to Kelly's after the show tonight and do some planning. And you're going to see some changes in those spots.
And but, if you're out and about tonight, stop by Kelly's.
Yeah.
Say hey to us. I mean, I know we're weird looking, but
It's pretty much going to be a spot that I go after every show for the next few weeks, because I'm going to go there and I'm going to start working out, you know, some things I like or don't like about the show and planning. And they've got great specials on Sunday nights. They got great specials every night, but we're not going to give them everything for free just yet until we get that contract locked down later this week. But they're good folks, and I do want to say thank you to Mitch and Colleen for all that they've done. And check out Kelly's Westport Inn.com And we'll have more from them coming up here later in the commercial breaks in the next few weeks. And they're going to be with us for at least 8 weeks. And what that does is it guarantees you that this show will be here through the end of the season and into football a little bit. So we got to figure out what we're going to do into October because we got at least two episodes in October with them. So in the meanwhile, we got some actual baseball to talk about.
Yep.
Mike, why don't you, as it was called here in the chat room, and you can probably guess who said this, but we need to get to Mike Ingles' little boy segment. And so, Mike,
well,
why don't you kick that off?
Amazingly, the Royals did not sign anybody that is would be a minor in the United States this week, at least not that I saw. So no 16-year-old baseball player discussion this week. Now, there were still a few things in the minor leagues. The main thing, Daniel Mateo, who is at Idaho Falls, one of the rookie league affiliates in the Royals, was 5-for-5 last night, had 8 RBIs, hit for the cycle, and also walked. So he's not necessarily at a prospect level, someone you're going to see in the top 30, but he's someone to kind of keep an eye on maybe a couple of years down the road if he continues to hit and develop. He's kind of a second base, third base type of guy, kind of Alberto Callaspo, kind of a fielding type. Chris Dwyer has looked better. His last start wasn't that great, but he's kind of showing signs that he's coming around. His last start, he threw 5 innings, maybe 5-plus innings, gave up 4 runs. But the previous 3 starts before that, he threw a total of 21 innings and gave up 3 total earned runs. So that's really good sign for him, especially considering he's getting to the end of the year. He's showing some development and making adjustments. His control has been a lot better, which is going to be the key with him. He's one of those guys, you're going to hear it as he comes up, he's got really good stuff. It's just a matter of him commanding it. His curveball could play in the major leagues right now. It's just a matter of having the command of his other pitches to go off of that. And so that's kind of what he's working on. Jake Odorizzi had a good start for Northwest Arkansas as well. He's kind of had a rough year after being promoted, but you know that's to be expected at a new level. So he's another really decent prospect. I guess that's selling him way short. He's probably the top pitching prospect in the organization right now. So sorry, Jake, if you're listening. I just kind of misspoke there.
You know, and he's pretty fantastic, and we've tried to get him on the show a couple times, and he's a busy guy, and he's really good on phone interviews. Three Guys in a Garage did one with him, and we're going to get him on at some point. We just haven't made that happen because we've got to ask him if he's okay with the nickname Eggs Odorizzi, because that's going to be awesome.
Such a great nickname, too.
I don't know who came up with that one, but it's definitely going with the country breakfast line. I think I got it in our notes.
Yeah,
so.
I think we do.
You know, September's coming, and it's usually an exciting time when you're a bad team because you get to bring people up. One thing that I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get some of the minor league guys to come on with us again, like Lee or Eric, and talk to what it's like to have those call-ups come, because I'm not sure we're going to see as many of the 40-man guys as you would expect because they've got playoffs in Omaha.
Yeah.
And they're 5 games ahead or 4.5 games ahead right now. And if their playoffs are like the first 2 weeks of September, 2.5 weeks of September. So we may not see the AAA guys for a long time.
You may not see Clint Robinson. You may not see Montgomery.
The AA guys are also leading their division. I'm not sure how their playoffs work, but Dayton likes to let these guys work through a playoff system. So as you can hear, that's the music that tells us that we're coming to the end. So, you know, we got a lot to look forward to. Boston and New York this week. I'm not a big fan of either of those two teams, and
me
I probably
neither.
Won't be at a lot of those games because I got the theater show that I'm working on. Go check out Kelly's Westport Inn. We're so happy to have him aboard. We'll have a lot of news for you. Give us a call or give us an email at royalmanreport@gmail.com or shoot us a tweet at @royalmanreport and let us know what you like and what you don't like about the breaks and what you would do if this was your show. Yep. We want to hear your opinions. We really take them to heart. So for Aaron Gnerk, who's working hard and buying us gifts, for Mike Engel, I am Casey Royalman. We will get you guys next Sunday, same bat time, same bat place. Love you guys, and go Royals.